Now that that's over, goodness, all that time spent here and there. Oh, just hold on. I'll get there. Hold on. Oh, oh, oh. Well, look at everyone here. When did you guys get here? I didn't see you when I was coming up. Well, hold on. I'm not sure I know who you are. Well, you know, it's interesting. Because I'm having a bit of trouble right now. And I'll tell you why. Partly because all this new technology that we have never seems to work when you need it, right? I mean, no matter how many times I push this thing, it just doesn't seem to do anything. So just give me a sec. I'll get there. I'll get there. Don't worry. It'll eventually work. It'll eventually work. Oh, I might have actually found the problem. Someone unplugged probably the thing I need, and, you know, that's what happens when people help you, I guess. I'm kidding. Don't take it so personally, okay? It's always this way, isn't it? Well, let me start. You're probably wondering, you know, where we are right now. And to be honest, I'm a bit surprised that you don't know where we are right now. I mean, it is a tremendous view, don't you guys? Don't you think? I mean, it is the promised land we're looking at, after all. I mean, this is the land that Abraham, my forefather, was promised. And years ago, let's see if technology. Eureka! The land that was promised to my forefathers years ago. You know, he asked me to lead. Do you see all those people down there? He asked this guy to lead all of those people. No, still don't know where we are? We're on Mount Nebo, of course. I guess probably if I had introduced myself, you might have figured that out. Well, my name is Moses. Yeah, yes, that Moses. The guy who had enough gall to walk up to one of the most powerful people in the world and say, "Let my people go!" And I'll tell you, was a tough guy, but he was nothing compared to God. Oh, and yes, I'm that guy who people called the friend of God. In fact, at one point, God passed in front of me. I even saw his back. What do you mean that's not a big deal? I'll bet that's more than you've seen. You know, I even got to see the parting of the sea, and that was not even CGI. It actually happened. And to be honest, when God told me to do that crazy stunt, I had no idea what to expect. But it worked, and boy, did it sure work. Why am I up here? What do you mean? I see. You must not be from around here. I see you guys are like tourists, like me, like us, just passing through. It took us a little longer than expected as well, so don't worry. A few flat wagon wheels and a few too many people trying to give directions will do that. You know, 40 years later, we're here. Well, I mean, we're close anyways. We're at the border to God's promised land. And it was sure worth it. Well, why am I up here? Well, you see, all those things I did in the past, you know, hitting the rock and water coming from it, tossing the log into the water and turning it from really bad and bitter to totally good and sweet. And don't forget the manna that came from heaven. Well, all those things, these things that, well, make me a big, really aren't that big. I know, sure, it was big, but it was God doing it anyways. I didn't really do any of that. I mean, I could barely keep sheep. I the whole reason I'm even here is because I had a challenge, and the whole reason I challenged Pharaoh is because I lost a sheep. He ran away from me, and I had to go find it. They always ran away from me, those silly sheep. And I know I'm just a man. And I am old. Did you know that I'm 120 this year? And to think, I have a little wisdom to share. And with you, some wisdom from my past to help your future. Now, I want to tell you a story. Something that had a dramatic effect on my life. If I had a second chance, I would have done it different. Not only different, I probably would have trusted the Lord as I should have. So I'll set the stage. There, as you were coming up, as much as I didn't expect you to be here, I kind of had planned for an audience. So there's a little paper you can follow along with. Oh, this technology always fails. Every time you needed to work. In the first month, not in this story. It was the first month. The whole of the Israelite community arrived in the desert of Zin, and they stayed at Kadesh. Hold on. I know I'm not being very descriptive. Sorry. Let me back up. So you know when the first month is, right? When we are talking about. No? None of you? Oh. Well, actually, it was of this year. This 40th year. It was the first month of this 40th year. And this story takes place then. And I mean, this just happened. Now, there is no water. There was no water for the community, and the people gathered in opposition of me and Aaron. Can you believe that? Time, and I mean time. These people have come and they complain and they complain and they don't ever trust God. All they ever do is complain. And did you know what they said? They quarreled with me and said, if only we died, oh, poor is me. Our brothers fell dead before the Lord. Only if we had died when everyone else had. Well, why did you bring the Lord's community into the wilderness? That we, our livestock should die here. Why, Moses, did you bring us up out of Egypt to this terrible place? because it wasn't bad before. It has no grain or figs or grapevines or pomegranates. And there's not even any water to drink. How dare they talk to me like that? Don't they know I'm the friend of God? I've been in the holy place with the Lord. I have to wear a veil when I walk out of the meeting tent because people can't even look at my face. And here they are again, complaining. Didn't they learn anything from the manna from heaven? Or the bitter water turned clean? Or the pillar of fire that showed us the way by night? Or the cloud of smoke by day? Isn't that evident of what the Lord was doing with us? But, okay. I'll back up. Because I understand it's difficult. I can't say that this is where I always wanted to be, the leader of these people. It's not easy to have such faith in the Lord. I mean, I remember when God called me, even. So, you know, 40-some years ago, I told him, no, not me, Lord. I can't do it. I told him, no, not a chance, nada. And I said send someone else. I even tried to tell him that my speech would be a problem. And he solved that problem too. I said, I don't speak good, God. But he said, no, go anyway. So I guess I can understand. But the question I ask is, how can our own personal comfort so easily blind us to what God has already done in our lives? These people have seen God literally every day, morning and night. Somehow, time and time again, a personal problem or something that is comfortable or want to be comfortable but blinds them to what they know is true. Well, it is easy in this case, because to be upset at me and Aaron is much easier than having faith, even though they had seen faith and the fruit of it. It's so hard to say that because I've seen God's faithfulness that I just knew we would see it again. So Aaron and I, we went up to the assembly entrance and we entered the tent of meeting and we fell down. I'm old, give me a minute. And we fell down on our face and we prayed to the Lord. Oh God, we prayed, God come. And he came. He was so faithful. You know, the Lord spoke with me face to face as one would speak with a friend. And when we were in trouble, all we had to do was go to God. I mean, isn't that the whole point of being a God follower? Is that what we try to show Israel when we're in trouble? Don't complain. Don't get mad at God or the people around you. Go to God. Go to God first. Allow God to change your mind. Allow God to come where you are and talk to you where you are. And then the Lord said to me, he said, take your staff, and you and your brother Aaron gather the assembly together. So we brought all the people together. And the Lord said, speak to that rock. And that rock for your eyes, and it will pour out its water. You will bring water out from the rock for the community so that they and their livestock can drink. Wow. God told Aaron and I this. So I took the staff and I got up and I went from the Lord's presence just as he commanded us to go. And we came to the assembly and I gathered everyone in front of the rock. I said, listen, you rebels, must we bring you water from this rock? No, I'll stop and explain my mistake. And it will become more evident as we go on. I was totally at my end with these people. They just would not learn. No matter how many times God had showed himself to them, they always complained. So I may have took it in my own power to change what God had told me to do just a little. I was doing what God had asked me to do, but I was doing it in Moses' way, not the way God had told me. So I started by, and I think reasonably, I lectured them. I called them. And why not? They sure deserved it. But no, God didn't ask me to lecture the people, I guess. This is not the first time I let my anger boil over. And I had to pray for my sin against God. I mean, you might not have heard. You may have. I also kind of broke the original Ten Commandments. You know, the ones God had written out with his hand. I just let my anger slip for 1 second. I wish, truly, that this part was the worst. I really wish that it was only this piece that I had done wrong. But no, it wasn't. I also made it as if it was God and I doing the work. It was kind of like a 50-50. I said very clearly, unfortunately, must we bring water out of this rock? But again, I wish that was the worst of it. I truly wish that I had been just a little obedient and trusted the Lord. So I'm standing here, and I called them rebels. Must we bring water from the rock, I said. And I raised my arm, and I struck the rock twice with my staff. And water gushed out for the community. And they and their livestock drank. Now I know sometimes we think that a stream yay big by, you know, yay deep came out of the rock, but it would have flooded the land. We had to feed and drink more than a million people. One small stream would not have done. So there I was, mighty Moses. And I brought water to this rebellious community. I had solved, alongside God, the problem. And I made sure they got a good tongue lashing. Do you see the problem? I figured as much. I hit the rock. But not only did I hit the rock, I hit it twice. The last time that God had asked me to bring water from the rock, I only had to hit it once. Do you see? God had asked me to speak to the rock, and I thought to myself, well, how does that work? Good morning, rock. Could you please give me some water? Thanks, rock. If it's not too much trouble, just feel free to pour out. No? Pour out. No? I didn't trust. How could speaking to something make it come alive? All these things that I said about Israel and their unbelief, all those things that I told you about, like parting the Red Sea, I had forgotten God could do it. I felt and I fell into the same place that Israel was, but in a totally different way. I didn't trust God. I took what God had asked me to do, Moses, and I put too much Moses into it, and not enough God. Do you see how this could affect you? God has asked you to do something, and you know what it is. Do it, and do it in His way. Otherwise, as all times that we make mistakes and are disobedient, we are punished. We have a consequence. And my consequence was this. The Lord said to Aaron and I, because you did not trust me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of all Israel, You will not bring this community into the land I have given them. But because I didn't trust. I didn't share in the glory of the Lord. Please, I beg of you, as a man who has led a million people, look to God alone. Look to God and God alone. Don't ask if something is possible. Just do it, and do it His way. If I had spoken to that rock, I would be entering the promised land that was promised to my forefather Abraham. I tried to honor my own anger and self rather than honoring God. I wasn't obedient. I was angry, very angry. And a bad decision that it cost me too much. Cost me much. And I remind you, this only happened. That God told me I would not make it this year. The last year that we would wander. I was this close. And I missed the mark. Through all of those struggles and trials over the previous 38 years. And in the last year I missed it. Because I stopped being obedient to God. Do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do receive a perishable wreath, but we are imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air. But I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. Watch yourselves so that you may not lose what we have worked for, but may win a full reward. Now, that was quite a depressing story. And I know, you're probably wondering what this boring old man is ranting about. Well, the truth is, I just don't want you to make the same mistake, to place yourself in the same place as God, to stop trusting on Him and on Him alone. For all of our strength, trust in Him alone. And when He commands you to act, act from His power, not your own. Be obedient. Do whatever God has asked. Don't let your anger draw you into self-righteousness as it did me. It was a person who wronged against me. But don't allow yourself to be drawn into the snare of the devil, of placing yourself above those around you. Well, there is often good in our consequence, because God loves us. I never told you why I'm up here. Did you already forget that we were up on the mountain? I figured you might have. You guys got a shorter memory than me. We are up here because God is good to me. Even though I made a mistake, and we'll pay for that mistake, God found a way to be good to me in the end. He has, as usual, proved Himself faithful. The Lord said to me, go up onto the Aram range of Mount Debo in Moab, across from Jericho, and view Canaan. I am here to see the promised land. I am here so God can show me the promised land. Now I am here. You know, God promised us a Savior. He told us that he would come and take away this separation from God. If I lived in this time when a Savior, a Christ had come, I would do whatever He asked. I mean, if He had told me to go out and pray, I would. If He had told me to have faith to move mountains, I would. If this Savior had told me to follow Him and cast the world aside, I would. If I had a chance as the friend of God to be closer to God than I already would, I was, I would. In every way. I would do my best not to treat it like I did with the rock. I would do whatever it takes for my life to look like that of the Savior's life, to emulate Him in every way. Well, we know that's not the day we live in, right? So at that, I will let you as tourists get back to your wandering, enjoy the desert, and I'll see you guys later.